I'd like to look, if you want to turn with us over into the little book of Malachi. Little book of Malachi. I guess it's the very last book in the Old Testament. And it's among some of those little books that we call the Minor Prophets. And yet some of them have a major message. They're not very long, but they're very pointed and very, very good. I'd like to start there in the first chapter. And start there in the very first verse. Maybe before we start, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're so thankful this morning for thy help, thy mercy to each one of us. Thank thee for this privilege that we have of gathering ourselves together to worship thee. We pray that thou will help us, Lord, that we might be faithful and true, that when the light comes to us, that we might walk in the light, and that we might be encouraged to be true to thee in a world of darkness. We pray that thou will take the scripture and apply it to our hearts and help us, Lord, that we might be able to reach out to others and that the light of Christ might shine through our lives and that a ray of hope might catch the heart of some sad, wandering soul that is out there in sin. Help us to be faithful, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, if then he be a father. Where is mine honor, if then I be a father? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that we, ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and we have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. I think we'll stop right there. This little book, if you would read through it, you're going to find a lot of places when, after they have fallen into sin, that they ask God in sort of an innocent way. Like, for instance, in verse 6 and verse 7, he said, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Wherein have we despised thy name? Have you ever had your children, or maybe you remember back when you as children did the very same thing? They say, why didn't you listen to what I said? Don't you remember what I told you? That you shouldn't do this, and then now this has happened because. And you say, well, I didn't hear you say that, or I didn't know. I never forget one time that I was just a little fellow, probably not, I don't know how old I would have been, might have been in the first grade, and we were living in one of the trailer parks, the many trailer parks we lived in around the state of Missouri. So my father worked on the bridges, and there was an area out beside the trailer park that somebody had just burned off. And my mother made the statement to me, said, Stephen, you stay out of that. Stay away from that. If nothing else, if I'd have walked in there, I'd have come out looking like charcoal because it was all burned off in black grass and down. And so she told me to stay out of there. Well, what is it within us sometimes when we're told not to do something that we just want to know why we can't do it? And I don't see any reason why I can't do it. And so what did I do as soon as she went into the trailer house? And I sort of trotted around over along the side. And, you know, you sort of get closer and closer to the thing that you're not to do. And you sort of look at it and you sort of start explaining it away. I don't see anything. And it would be fun to sort of kick my feet in it and make the stuff fly in the air. You know, I'm just a little fella. And sort of it's real easy to explain away. And like they said here, wherein have we despised thy name? Wherein have we polluted thee? And all through this in the next few chapters does the very same thing. So the next thing you know, I was over there kicking around in it, having a big time. And the black ashes were flying every which way. And I was having a good time until I happened to start feeling some heat down around my ankles and on my legs, and I looked down, and here my pants were on fire. And I don't know whether I hollered or whether she came or whether she'd been watching me. I don't know what the situation was, but she was there when I needed her, and I needed her bad then. You know, sometimes we don't think we need anybody's help, do we? We're big and strong, and we know what we're doing, and it's sort of silly what they told us to do or what they asked us to do. We can't see any reason in it, and all of a sudden, things start getting hot, and we want out of it right fast. But you know, I could get out of the burned off field, but I couldn't get away from the fire that got started from being in the wrong place. And she took her hands and went down my pants like that and put out the fire. And I know she burned her hands. She wasn't worried about her hands. And the one that is a true and a faithful, one that's concerned, like the prophet here was concerned about those that had left God, he had a burden. And he wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about them. And he was bringing to them, he was showing them where they were. He was showing them where they'd polluted themselves. And they were trying to excuse themselves and trying to excuse themselves. Trying to excuse themselves. Wherein have we despised thy name? And sort of the same situation took place if we look back into the familiar scripture when he says in verse 2 here, I have loved you, saith the Lord. And it's something. Yet ye say, you know, didn't they sense the Lord's help and love? They say, wherein hast thou loved us? Wherein hast thou loved us? Have you ever heard children say, well, if you really love me, you let me go. You let me do it. I want to have fun with my friends. I want to go to a certain place, and I don't see anything wrong with it. And they're going, why can't I? You're just being hard on me. I remember when my father set down the rules in high school that, no, I enjoyed vocational agriculture in that class, but then they had the Future Farmers of America organization and wanted us all to be members of it, and we all had our nice little FFA coats, but no, Daddy says, they don't want me to do that, don't want me to be a part of that. And so I was the only one that didn't have one of those pretty dark blue coats with the gold writing on it and a FFA symbol on it and a big one on the back of it. The boys were so proud of their coats, and I didn't get to have one. Well, why? Why did Daddy have to be so like that? The vocational agriculture teacher came out to our place, and for a project we had to have something. Well, I was thinking about having Duroc hogs, registered Durocs. But my parents decided that they didn't really want them around. And so I ended up with a couple dozen high-bred laying hens. And they were really good ones. Daddy and I built a little house for them out there. And then my agriculture teacher came out to take a look. And he's looking around, and all of a sudden his eyes got bright. And he went in and he found an egg, the first egg that they had laid. And he was a nice man. He encouraged us in what we did. And about whatever he said, I thought was right. My daddy mentioned to me, he said, you know, the ones that really love you are your family, your parents, and your teachers are, you know, you need to honor them, you need to respect them, but the ones that really love you and are cared about your soul is the ones that brought you up and are bringing you up. And I hope each one of we parents, grandparents, realize if we really love our children, then we do it in the fear of God. We don't just let them do what they want to do. We show them, we guide them in the way, we train them up, we bring them up in the nurture and the fear of God. And we let them know that there are some absolutes, that God sets some absolutes in His Word, and His Word will never fail. And in like, we cannot in any way have our own way and expect to make it to the place that God has prepared for His children. Looking back into Genesis, I thought of this statement that is said here about Esau. Esau's brother was the Lord, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. Now why was that? And if you look back into Genesis And let's just read a little bit here in the 25th chapter. We had a situation that I think was a sad situation in that home, in that daddy loved one and mama loved the other one. And the one was mother's favorite and the other one was daddy's favorite. The daddy liked the one that was strong and robust and would get out there and hunt and bring him in some venison, bring him in some deer and make him his what he liked to eat. He loved his strong, robust young man. And the mother, she loved Jacob. Let's just start reading in verse 27. Genesis 25, 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And here's this strong man. Here's this he-man. This one that has muscles. One that is cunning. He knows to get out, how to get out there and to find what he's hunting for. And he knows how to outwit it. And he knows how to take it and to bring it home. And he's a man that his father especially admired. But he's a different picture. All of a sudden now here he is. He's coming in, dragging. He's been out there. He's been hunting for a long time. He's covered a lot of area maybe. And maybe missed a meal or so, staying out there trying to get what he wants. And now he's coming in and he smells this wonderful aroma. The smell of the good food is coming out to him. And he's faint. He's weak. He don't feel strong anymore. He feels probably like you do when you're needing something right off, sort of shaky and weak. And he smells this. And he says, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, all of a sudden, this takes place. He said to him, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Some people have sold their birthright. They've sold their right to eternity. They've sold it for a lot less than a mess of pottage. But it was maybe what somebody was thinking about them, maybe just plainly because they were just lazy spiritually. Too lazy to have their devotions. Too lazy to assemble themselves with the children of God, to worship God and to praise God and to get ready for heaven. A church sign in town said something about eternity is a long time. How did it go? Eternity is a long time to find out that you were wrong. Eternity is a long time to find out that you were wrong. Well, Lord, you just give Jacob everything. You give him all the opportunities. You gave him this and you gave him that, but you've just left me out. And accused the Lord for something that was his own fault. He seemed like he was attracted more to his feelings, his hunger, that type of thing, than he was to the spiritual things, the things of God. "Sell me this day thy birthright." And so he said, "You know, I'm ready to die, and this birthright, what's it going to help me anyway?" We get in a tight place. We say, "Well, there's no way out of it, and so I guess I'll just go with the crowd. I'll just laugh at the dirty joke. I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be going to this place. But I don't want to look, what would you say, weak. But instead of being a strong, stalwart Christian that will stand for the truth in the right way and live a holy life even when it hurts, many of them sell their birthright, their eternal birthright to heaven. They let it slip through their fingers in such a casual way, just such a casual manner. I mean, is it important that we make it to heaven? Is it important that our families make it to heaven? Does it really matter? The devil comes around and he says, oh, if you be so strict and you be so straight, you're going to drive them away. That's a lie of the devil. If we love our children, we're going to stand by the truth. We're going to live the truth. We're going to be the right kind of an example. And there are certain things that are going to be absolutes, because this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. It's just not an opinion of man. This is something that we stand on. These are solid convictions that are going to take us through and stand us good in the day, not only of life, but of death. And every one of us, we know, are going that way. Well, he says, then Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. Now let's look over a little bit further. Let's look over in the book of Hebrews, when it's pointing back to this same situation. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'd like to start reading in verse 11. And maybe I'd like to say just before this, as I read in verse, the first verse says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And when God chastens us because we are his son, and he doesn't want us to slip off the wrong way, he doesn't want us to sell our birthright, he doesn't want us to sell out to the fashions of this world and the ungodliness that we see around us. He doesn't want us to go that way. At times he has to bring us up short and to speak to us in terms that we might consider sort of harsh, because he's concerned about us and he wants us to go the right way. And he says, now the chastening for the present it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Then he tells us several things to do. The first thing he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The next one he says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then he says, follow peace with all men. And so there's two things that he says that we're to follow, and that is peace and holiness. Peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If our life is not a life of the peace of God, who passeth all understanding, then it will not be a life of holiness and holy living. They go right hand in hand together. Looking diligently, diligently. Oh, this morning, if we could just all of us pray that God will help us to be more diligent spiritually, to not just pass over these things that are so infinitely important. While we're in a service like this, there's people that in some countries walk miles and miles and miles to come to a service and hear an old-fashioned preacher preach the truth. And we just probably took a mile or two, 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get here this morning. And sometimes we don't realize what we have until we have it taken away from us. And then we realize, oh, what did we have? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God does not want us to fail. He don't want you to fail. And because of that, He's willing to chasten you. He's willing to speak to you. He's willing to, if He has concern, people here, sometimes they'll slip around and say, well, I'm praying for you. It looks like that you're going through something. Just the other day, a young man came up to me. And he told me, we'd been talking for a while, and he said, I'm going through some rough places. He said, you're really going through some rough places. A desire and interest in your prayers. And I did pray for him. And there was a certain situation that was just ahead that I thought, oh, I'm not sure that that's going to be the best for him. I'm afraid that could be something that's going to send him the wrong way. And I prayed about that situation. Lord, if it's not the thing for him to do, You can stop it. And it's exactly what happened. The plans were completely changed. And things were turned around completely. And I just thank the Lord. You know, we're here to help each other. We're here to pray for each other. And if we have struggles and we have needs, if we have people we have confidence in, ask for an interest in their prayer. And let's be ready to pray one for another. Well, he said one more thing here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Eternity is a long time to realize suddenly that we're wrong, isn't it?